What kind of soil are you? Only you can answer that question. Jesus presented four soils. And he was trying to show how some will receive the word of God. It's not so much based on the messenger. Certainly the message is fine, but sometimes the receptivity to the message depends on the soil, or rather most, if not all the time, it depends on the soil. And so we pointed out that in this particular parable of the sower, that one will reject it. And we found that to be the one that is unresponsive. We talked about that this morning, and that is the soil that's represented as the wayside soil, not going to receive the message, going to reject the message, just unresponsive to that message for various reasons. They have hardened their hearts and therefore cannot receive the message that comes from the word of God. But we notice that what Jesus is doing in this particular parable is he's putting the emphasis on the hearer, those who hear, and what kind of soil that individual may be, as represented by the four soils that's shown by Jesus. Jesus is emphasizing hearing, and we noted that in this particular narrative, he constantly talks about hearing. Ears four times, hear nine times, hearing three times, heareth four times, and heard one time. That's a lot of emphasis put on one who's going to hear the word of God. And that's going to indicate to us just what kind of soil we truly are. So are you the unresponsive soil, the wayside, or are you the impulsive soil, the rocky? Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And notice verse number 20 and 21. In fact, let's back up to verse number 5. Verse number 5. Darvin, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Where they had no much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth.
Now, look at verse number 9.
We have who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
All right, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's drop down to verse number 20 and verse number 21. By and by he is offended. Now remember, Jesus is utilizing the teaching known as a parable. And so he is giving them something. He is utilizing something that they already are familiar with, and he is casting alongside of it a spiritual meaning so that he can give them something of which they are not familiar. And what he does is he talks about now in this kind of a soil, the sower is throwing out seed, and once again, it's falling in different places. It fell by that wayside, which was the beaten path that was walked on and all that kind of thing. It becomes so hardened that it just would not take root. Now, as a result of that, you know, it stayed on the surface and the birds came, which he said, well, Satan comes and snatched that word before it can even take any root. But then he talks about this rocky soil, which I call the impulsive soil. And in Palestine, they had many areas where only a few inches of soil covered the ledges of limestone rock. And the soil was so shallow that the plants would spring up quickly, especially when the sun came out. But they would appear healthy for a little while, but then because they had no depth, because it could not penetrate down through that limestone rock, they could not establish a root system. Therefore, because you could not establish a root system, you could not be provided with proper nourishment, could not get the watering, if you will. And therefore, the plant will be scorched by the sun and soon wither and die. Now, Jesus applies this to an individual who is impulsive. They hear and respond to the gospel message immediately. And they do it, he says, with joy. Nevertheless, the seed quickly dies when the sun of persecution arises. Because of their faith, they fall away. So in other words, we're not talking about simply problems that may come up. We're talking about because of what you believe. You get tested based on your faith. And when they are tested based on their faith, they wither and die. Now, Luke records this type of soil of those who believe for a little while. Oh, they'll come in among us. In other words, sometimes we wonder what happens to people. Why are we baptized so many people and we can't keep them? What happens? And sometimes we look around and we blame ourselves. Well, let me tell you something. If you want to blame yourself, that's fine. But I'm not trying to blame myself. Amen. And I'll tell you why. When people come into Christ, they are afforded the same opportunities that you and I have. First of all, you are afforded an opportunity to meet the Lord's church, meet with the Lord's people every first day of the week. And not only that, we provide a Bible study. That's not commanded. That's something that we provide. We know it's not commanded. That's why half of y'all don't show up. So we have a Bible study that we give people an opportunity to come to on a Sunday morning in conjunction with the command to assemble for worship. So there's an opportunity, and then we got the worship, and then within worship we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's two opportunities there. And then, again, not commanded, but something that is tradition among us, we have a second service. And so we have a 1:30 service, or sometimes a 6 o'clock service. Again, the whole day is the Lord's day, so we can have as many as we want. And so we decide to have a second service. Once again, giving you the same opportunity. If you avail yourself of that service, you can be here. You get a chance to not only ingratiate yourself with the saints, but you also get another opportunity to hear the word of God proclaimed. And then, not commanded, but midweek, Wednesday night, we come together collectively as the body that meets in this place, and we have a Wednesday night Bible study. Again, giving you another opportunity to assemble with the saints, to be edified and encouraged, and study the word of God. Now, anybody in their right mind, if you have those opportunities and then couple it with your own personal devotion daily, there's no reason for you to fall away. If you do, my friends, it's not because we didn't do enough. Aren't you tired of hearing people say, well, we baptize them, but then we lose them? We bring them in, and then they just go out. Well, what do you think this parable is about? There are certain heart conditions that's being presented here that helps us to appreciate that you have the same opportunities that everyone. So how did we stay? And if we can stay, everybody can stay. We then will go on and we will have personal Bible studies. We'll have personal devotions. We'll find other reasons. You know what we'll do? We'll turn around and then we'll go out into the United States and we will call another person or two of them in and say, come on in and let's just have a whole weekend where y'all come in and just share the word of God with us. We'll pay for you to come here. We'll lodge you and put you up. What we want you to do is come in and speak to the people. Give us some good information from the word of God. Build us up in the most holy faith. And how about you do it for an entire weekend or an entire week? We call those gospel seminars, gospel meetings. Amen. Another opportunity for everyone to come and partake of it. Now, the fact that folk don't show up, I'm sorry that we actually had one during the same time as the jazz festival. I apologize for that. Wasn't on purpose. But the sad thing is that when we do fall in line with a jazz festival, a gospel meeting is going to lose. That's not on us. That's still on you. Amen. When you can, even those who missed and went to the jazz festival. There are those who come. They hang in there for a little while. They received it with joy, but they don't last. Look at Luke 8 and verse number 13. This is what Luke says. They on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no what? They have no root. Why? Because it's just that topsoil is just only so much soil, and underneath it is that limestone rock. So it can't get down in there and create a root system where it can get the water and the nourishment that it needs to grow up strong. And so which for a while they believe, and then in time of temptation, persecution, in time of disagreement, in time of people offending them, they'll fall away. And the main problem with such a hero, my friend, is because, see, we can't stop the persecution. We can't stop the offense. We can't stop the challenges that you're going to face because you have obeyed and responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't stop that. But the hero, the Bible says, is not rooted, and that means they have a shallow conviction and therefore will stumble. They will be offended. And when one does not have a real deep conviction firmly rooted, one is susceptible to falling into apostasy. First sign of tribulation, first sign of trouble. And they're going to fall. That person is going to collapse under that pressure. They fall for several reasons. One of the reasons is they have no real confidence in God. When you don't have real confidence in God, my friends, you're going to fall. They have no true religion. Remember, they received it with joy just for a moment, but then they fell away. When you have no real conviction, when something happens to the very person that you connected to in Christ, when that person falls, you're going to fall. How many people have left the church because a loved one died or was no longer there, and then they leave because they were connected to that person? They really had no true conviction. They really had no true religion. How many of you are here because of your husband? If he falls, you're going to fall, sister. How many of you here because of your wife? If she falls, you're going to fall. How many of you here because of another family member? When they fall, you're going to fall. I've seen wives or husbands leave the church after the death of one of their husband or their wives, after they've been a member of the church for 20 years or so, and then when that person dies and goes out the way, they fall. What happened? They had no real conviction. They were very shallow. They were this type of soil, and they have no real confidence in God, and their religion was not their own. We might illustrate it this way, because when you receive it, boy, you become emotional, and the feeling of excitement comes for a little while, but it's like the word of God came into the heart and reached to the emotions, created a feeling of excitement, but did not reach the conscience. It did not root itself in the conscience, which enables one to produce a conviction, a serious conviction. And when some trouble comes along and threatens those good feelings, we talked about this over and over again in various ways. When you are based on your emotion and just simply your excitement and your feelings, when something comes and disrupts that happy feeling and that excitement, you don't have anything else to hold you. It's got to reach down in there and get into the conscience so it can produce a conviction in you and get beyond just simply your emotions. Otherwise, my friends, you are in trouble. These kind of individuals do not last because they are impulsive. Question to you this evening is, are you an impulsive hearer? You know, sometimes people take that very feeling and they continue that in religion. Sometimes they come to a worship service and it's all about feeling good. They want to hear something good. These are the kind of people that will tell you, I didn't get anything out of it. Why? Because I was looking for something to excite me, something to make me feel good. We're glad the word of God can make you feel good, my friends, but it's not because you're just simply impulsive and just in the shallow point of your emotions, but that you will produce a real deep abiding conviction. You're going to have to allow the word of God to get down into your heart, and you're going to have to remove that limestone rock so that it can dig deep down in there and create a root system. If not, my friends, you'll be nothing more than an impulsive hearer that will not last soon as your trouble shows up. Now, the thing is, my friends, we can't guarantee you that trouble not going to show up. And yes, I've done. We can't guarantee you that trouble is not going to show up, because challenges to your faith then are necessary to see what kind it is. So once you come to Christ, my friends, get ready. It's not that everything is going to be roses from that point on. You come into Christ, my friends, now the trouble really starts to see
if you are dedicated to see if you are rooted. That same sun that gave you good sunlight and gave you those good nutrients and everything that was enabling you to grow and look all pretty, that same sun is going to scorch you, my friends, if you don't dig down deep and get a root system. Or you're here today. Are you impulsive? You just want to feel good? Or do you want to be good? You want to receive the word of God into your heart so that it can take root and make you a different person. Not spring up just to look good, but to spring up and look good and be good.
Amen.
Because you're rooted in the foundation of Jesus Christ. If you need to respond to this invitation, we don't want you to be that kind of hearer. We want you to be a good and honest hearer. Receive the word of God that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and send him to the cross. Confess him with the mouth of the salvation and be baptized so that he can remove your sins and add you to his body. Don't just believe for a while. Make a commitment to God and intend to be here until the last breath you take on this in this life.
Amen.
That's what you need to do. You need to be committed for the rest of your life.
Amen.
And when this life is over, my friends, heaven can be your home.
Amen.
You need to respond. We invite you to do so right now. Just stand and sing. The invitation's